Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
It is the Hagman Report for today. It is Monday, November 15th, 2021. I want to welcome everyone to the program, HagmanReport.com. That's where you can hook up with Rumble. Please subscribe to us on Rumble. And also Brighty on your choice of video platforms and, of course, audio as well. You can get the audio version of this at HagmanReport.com. Two ends on Hagman. Wow. I want to open this segment with a quote from Voltaire. This is attributed to the French philosopher Voltaire from Questions sur les Miracles back in 1765. Quotes this: those who can make you believe absurdities can make you commit atrocities. Now that's transliterated from the French. There's some issues with respect to the exact translation, but you get the idea. Now I want to say that again: those who make you believe absurdities can make you commit atrocities. You know, cultural Marxists, and really Satanists, I've got to say this, and I don't use that word, that descriptive term, lightly. They want to destroy the West, yet they want to enjoy its fruits, its bounty, after they've destroyed it, which makes no sense whatsoever. Some other quotes I came across, this attributed to Bonhoeffer, and of course I'm paraphrasing this as well. The emergence of mass stupidity parallels the societal acceptance of immorality. That's pretty right on target. And lastly, and this is, I believe, most important, or perhaps one of the most important: in the end, we will remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends. Pretty pensive, right? Pretty pensive for this Monday, November 15th, 2021. Thanks for the new program clock, Eric the Tech. Eric the Tech, how are you today?
Doing good.
I'm glad to hear that. All right. So this morning, in case you missed it, living under a rock, whatever, had the news tuned up, the case of Kyle Rittenhouse, the judge dismissed a firearms charge. The case gone to the jury charged now with deciding the fate after closing arguments. But perhaps equally, if not more importantly, Steve Bannon turned himself in this morning. This is on the contempt of Congress charges. Well, the grand jury indictment based on the contempt of Congress charges. And he had a message that when he walked in to turn himself in, he had a message, and I think this is important. This is about less than a minute long. Here he is pulling up, getting out, walking up the steps, and then stopping to deliver this message. Here it is. And of course, for the radio listeners, which you're seeing, there's a couple of vehicles, SUVs, pulling up to the front of the federal building here. And one, of course, contains Steve Bannon. And you know, this is his entourage, his bodyguards, of course. delivering him. And there are a lot of people who want to kill him.
Back up. Thank you.
Here it is right here.
Thank you. Everybody
come
get
on,
back.
Folks, don't get hurt. Where are we?
Right here.
Go
excuse
around.
Me. Okay. Please respect his face.
It live stream on Getter right now. Everybody watching in the war room, we're here today. I don't want anybody to take their eye off the ball of what we do every day. Okay? We got the Hispanics coming on our side, African Americans coming on our side. We're taking down the Biden regime. Every day, the focus, you got Raheem Ghassan today, you got Dr. Peter Navarro, Captain Bannon. You're going to have Boris Epstein, the whole show. Intense. We got polling out, economic data out, everything. I want you guys to stay focused, stay on message. Remember, signal, not noise. This is all noise, that's signal. Thank you very much.
Are you optimistic today? How are you feeling today, Mr. Bannon?
Excuse me. Come on, guys. There it is. And that's Steve Bannon turning himself in to the charging authority of the FBI. And Bannon on Friday was charged with two counts of contempt for failure to comply with a committee subpoena to produce any records and testify about what he knew about the assault with respect to the January 6th, the committee of January 6th. He is arraigned today. His attorney, by the way, has argued in numerous letters to the committee that Bannon's communications with President Trump were privileged. Now, I'll tell you who didn't turn themselves in for contempt charges. Eric Holder. I'll tell you who else didn't turn themselves in for contempt charges. Lois Lerner. Henry Kissinger, if you want to go back a ways, and many others. Yet here we have Bannon turning himself in. But see, this got to the point where there was an arrest warrant was sworn out. This is different, much different than the previous Department of Justice actions I've mentioned. There was no arrest warrant for Eric Holder. There was no arrest warrant for Lois Lerner. There was no arrest warrant for Henry Kissinger. But indeed, there is an arrest warrant here. Why? The answer is simple. The Department of Justice has, in fact, become a weapon, an arm of the leftist regime, the criminal cabal, the globalists, the party of Davos. That's who we are fighting. That satanic cabal is exactly who we're fighting. So I want people to understand that. And I know you, the audience, does understand that we're looking at a different take today. Now, what will happen from here? Well, here's the thing. And I know the left, or I know conservatives want to embrace this. I know Christian conservatives have this feel reflected by the statement of Cahill Gibran, who said this: out of suffering have emerged the strongest souls, the most massive characters are seared with scars. But I contend that we are in a totally different venue right now. We are, instead of being on the defensive all of the time and playing defense all of the time, we cannot do this any longer. We absolutely cannot do this any longer. We have to start putting up a fight and start fighting. And again, I'm going to repeat what I said earlier. In the end, we are going to remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends. And I would extend that to be the silence of our allies, or those who say that they are our allies. Because we are living in times where people have convinced others to believe in absurdities. And remember what Voltaire said. Those people, those who can make you believe absurdities can make you commit atrocities. 1765. Voltaire. Some absurdities include the lockdown measures associated with the response to the SARS-CoV-2, COVID, whatever you want to call it, virus. Again, it's not the virus, it's the response to the virus. Now, Dr. Malone has come out here this past weekend talking about the impact or the adverse effects of the spike protein. I've got to say, it's not... Look, this bioweapon, known as SARS-CoV-2, should be taken seriously. This long COVID, so to speak, must be taken seriously. We have to understand who created it, why it was created, in my view, anyway, to understand the magnitude of the crime and to find out how we can best fight, you and I, individually, as human beings, as parents, as children, as grandparents, as family members. We need to be able to fight this like, you know, never before. But we also at the same time need to be able to identify the very people behind this. And I think to a large extent, and folks, you can, I know you can, you know who's behind this. These are the, again, I refer back to the word I really don't like to use that often, but the satanic cabal. And I do believe that there's a measure of Satanism here. But back to the absurdities. What are we seeing today? What did we see today? Austria, the birthplace of Adolf Hitler, Austria, tugging on the sleeve of their historical backdrop. This is number four on the list here. This is what's happening in Austria. And if you don't think it can happen here, you're not paying attention. But it's going to be a little bit different in terms of its complexion. Because remember, Austria, somewhat different culture than America, than North America. However, the concept is the same. Conceptually, however, it might look different, and it will look different. We will get starved out here in America. We'll get starved out. We'll get the economy will turn against us and will devour us if they have their way. But let's look at what happened today in Austria, effective in Austria today. Lockdown. You're a prisoner in your own home. Here it is.
Austria's government has approved a new lockdown which will only apply to unvaccinated people. Starting at midnight on Sunday, the government said people who haven't been vaccinated will only be allowed to leave their homes for essential reasons, such as working, shopping, or taking a walk. The lockdown is intended to push more people to get the jab against COVID-19. Now, Austria's decision comes just 2 days after the Netherlands announced a partial lockdown for all residents. Austria has one of the lowest vaccination rates in Western Europe. Together with Chancellor Alexander Schallenberg, Interior Minister Karl Nehammer held a press conference a short while ago. Here's what he had to say.
As of tomorrow, every citizen, every person living in Austria must be aware that they can be checked by the police at any time. Among other things, we will also check if people have been vaccinated or recovered and the reason for entering public spaces.
I'm joined now by journalist Klaus Prümpers. What do people in Austria think, Klaus? Do they think a lockdown for unvaccinated people is reasonable action for the government to take?
Protesters in front of the Chancellery in Austria and Vienna already indicated that not all people think this will be helpful. They still protest against the measures now taken starting at midnight, and experts already said this is not enough. So the health minister already told in his press conference, joined by the Chancellor and the Interior Minister we heard just now, we will discuss further measures in the next days so that we really get a better vaccination rate And already in the last 4 days, indications show that four times more people have been vaccinated than in the last 2 weeks before. It applies especially to Upper Austria and Salzburg, where the infections are very high. And as you all know, Germany put Austria on the list of high infectious areas last Friday.
Klaus, what about how this works? How will the government actually control the implementation of this unvaccinated lockdown?
Police will go and control at random, so not everybody will be controlled. Especially the fact is that the public transport is accessible to everybody wearing FFP2 masks. But this at random control indicates also if you are caught and you are on the streets without one of the purposes you just heard by the Interior Minister, then you can be fined up to €1,450. A lot of people think this is in a country like Austria with a lot of countryside still not possible to control everybody. And so the spreading of COVID-19 will go on. And everybody expects that in 10 days from now, new measures will be taken.
Klaus Prümpas in Vienna, thanks so much for your time.
And there it is. That's Austria. But what about America? Can this happen in America? Well, right now, it's going to be in incremental steps. This, of course, we are hearing is a now a pandemic of the unvaccinated, of course, and splitting splitting America into two different categories, those who have received the jabs and those who have not received the jabs. The damage done by the coronavirus or by this bioweapon, that being the original virus, if you will, is evident. It's becoming more evident as time goes on. Okay, it does create havoc with the spike protein and such, but the damage caused by the second bioweapon, and that's the jab, of course, is causing deaths of numerous people, from young people, healthy young people, playing football, playing basketball, playing soccer, whatever, and middle age, you know, or people in their 30s and 40s, 20s, 30s, and 40s, healthy individuals, of course, but the media is not showing you this. But in Austria, and what, again, coming here in increments, anyone unvaccinated over the age of 12 is not allowed to leave their home except for, quote, essential reasons, which, you know, include grocery shopping. For now, there is no longer an option to present a negative test. Now, you talk about the pure definition of tyranny is to lock down those people who are healthy. It's either vaccination or lockdown, period. People who have not been fully vaccinated against COVID, again, these are the words from the Austrian officials, will only be allowed to leave their homes for specific purposes, like going to a doctor, getting groceries, going to work, or getting vaccinated. End of story. And there will be random checks to ensure compliance. Now, the Austrian health minister said the government would also introduce a vax requirement for people working in the healthcare industry. Okay, when you look at this in a larger sense, we know where this is all headed, and this is all headed in a very satanic to fulfill the satanic agenda. If you don't believe that, if you think that's an overstatement or hyperbole, there's not too much more I can do for you. When you look at and study biblical scripture and see what's going on, I can see this clearly, or at least as clear as my level of biblical understanding would allow. All right. Now, Mark Levin yesterday, and I don't know how many people had seen this. Mark Levin had, I'm not sure if we can find that or not, Eric the Tech. I believe Citizens Free Press, I think they might have had an excerpt of Mark Levin. Maybe not. This would have been from this past weekend where there was a guest on. Let me see if I can find this here. Bear with me, folks, because I believe this is extremely important, where actually the guest had said, look, this whole agenda is satanic in nature. I don't know how many people watched Mark Levin this past weekend, but it was an incredible piece of the few minutes. Are you looking by chance, or Eric? Yeah, it could very well be buried. I want to see if I can, because I know I had it up, and I debated about, you know, well, gee whiz, don't people know this? Well, yeah, but to hear it and to see it laid out in the fashion it was, man, I'll tell you what, it really drove this home. And it's interesting that actually Mark Levin would have allowed this to air. And I'm not saying anything against Mark Levin, not at all. But folks, if you can find it, definitely take a look at it, okay? But this is, again, this is the cultural Marxist element now, and the Maoist Marxist element of that's the subset of the larger satanic agenda. And remember, as I said, cultural Marxists want to destroy the West. However, they want to still enjoy the benefits, the bounty, the fruits of the West, even after they've destroyed it. It's their enjoyment. It's their benefit, not yours, not ours. And they would rather kill you or have you die than associate or coexist, cohabitate with you or with us. That's where we're at now. Let's be clear, and I hope everyone understands how bad this is. One of the more egregious, at least in my view, one of the more egregious or evidentiary pieces of evidence, the egregious pieces of evidence, is the critical race theory. When we talk about cultural Marxism, critical race theory does pop up quite often. And what this critical race theory is, this is a Marxist doctrine, obviously. This is a communist doctrine. And again, communist is only a subset of the larger satanic doctrine. I've got two very quick videos. One, critical race theory. This is from the Twitter feed of Tony Kinnett. I believe that's how you pronounce his name. The link to his Twitter feed will be in the program description box. I want to make sure he gets credit for this. I don't know if he created this or not. This is number three on the list, Eric the Tech. It's just a very short clip, but this is at first. Again, remember, those who make you believe absurdities can make you commit atrocities. This is the first part of that, okay? You believe in critical race theory? You believe it's being taught in schools? Then that's absurd, and you are being absurd. So watch this. Go ahead.
Critical race theory. It's an approach to teaching of American history and civics that argues systemic racism is woven into American law and institutions.
Critical race theory is not being taught in K-12 schools.
None of those states are teaching critical race theory in their K-12 schools, man. But it doesn't exist.
Your sixth grader is not being taught critical race theory.
Critical race theory is not taught in elementary schools or middle school or high schools.
It's taught in law school.
Critical race theory, which isn't real.
Just to be clear, it's not in the curriculum.
All the CRT stuff is trumped up dog whistling.
We do not teach critical race theory here in Virginia. It has never been taught.
It not being taught in schools, that's 100% correct.
The whole purpose of critical race theory is to provide Americans with a way to understand the legacy of racism, even though those stories sometimes hurt.
I'm going to ban critical race theory. That is like us banning the ghost.
It's not.
Critical race theory.
our Black Lives Matter pledge, our faculty members take hold of this.
Critics portray as sort of judging people intrinsically as being racist or not.
Black babies who are still in the womb because of the kind of health care that their mothers do not get simply because they are black. That's why we're counting on you all, you young people coming up, to stop all this madness.
Critical pedagogy is in schools.
We do have critical race theory in how we teach.
There isn't any critical race theory.
I think that that was a very well done. And again, I don't know if Tim Kennett or Kennett created that or not, but I think it was a great collage. And the reason I played this, there's a couple of different reasons here. If you watch that, number one, the media and the people who are supposedly in positions of trust or authority. You know, I cite again Bonhoeffer, the emergence of mass stupidity paralleled the societal acceptance of immorality. And when you look at this, isn't that exactly what they're doing? They are the press, the politicians, the people in power, the teachers, the commentators, the entertainers, they're all embracing and that they're attempting to make you believe in absurdities. And what happens when one believes in absurdities? One can commit atrocities. But notice the prominent part of the media there. Notice the prominent part of some certain politicians there. Are we now getting a pretty clearer picture of who's not on our side and who is trying to destroy our country? Who is not just our country, but destroy us? And again, in the end, we will remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends. The last bit of this is the truth about critical race theory. This was posted by Eat the Press, a YouTube channel. And I don't know if this is connected with RT. I don't know. But I saw this. It's several minutes long. But this has some nuggets in it. And this is about a teacher who was punished for speaking out against CRT. Now, again, why am I mentioning this in the same segment as the coronavirus, the vax jab thing? Because this is a multi-pronged effort to take down you and I. They're coming for the guns next. They're coming for our food supply next. By the way, speaking of that, I want to just take a mild left turn here, and I know you probably have the other queued, but Bob Griswold sent me over the weekend, or sent me early this morning, it's like 5 o'clock this morning, this article that appeared yesterday in the Wall Street Journal, and it's an extreme, in my view anyway, it's an extremely important article. Supermarkets alter layouts, use decoys to fill gaps left by shortages. And the subtitle, or the additional byline here, is product shortfalls caused by supply chain bottlenecks are pushing grocers to get creative so consumers aren't facing empty shelves. And there's an image there in the Wall Street Journal. And I believe this might be a fee-based article, but they're behind the paywall. But there you can see a photograph of one store, and you can see the empty shelves there. But the important part of that, and you go ahead and just keep that up for a few moments here while I look at this, because I think it's important that we look at this and say, wait a minute, is this intentional? Of course it's intentional. Is this an effort to, or is this a consequence of bad policy, or is this the policy? Well, I believe this is the policy. Again, this is steeped in this subset of satanic objectives known as cultural Marxist. All right. The link for that will be in the program description box. Hopefully you can get that. It's not hidden behind a paywall. The last part of this segment here, I want to end on this teacher being punished for speaking out about critical race theory being taught. This pretty much, if you watch 100 videos about CRT being taught in schools, This pretty much encapsulates everything that's going on. So let's go ahead, if you're ready, and I apologize for, you know, dropping things on you all the time, but let's go ahead and play this last video here, and then we're going to bring John Moore on. Go ahead and play that.
Why is an issue like critical race theory being taught in schools? It's not. But people are out of their minds.
It is not being taught. Critical race theory is something that is taught in some law schools. It started in Harvard Law School. That is the truth of it.
The view on The View's critical race theory is that it does not exist. And that's consistent with the media's mantra in the aftermath of the recent elections. Joining us now is Ramona Bessinger, a teacher for over 20 years. She's currently in Providence, Rhode Island. And there she is. And Ramona, I want to let the viewers know we're taping this during school hours, and you are not in the classroom teaching the kids in your school. You're being punished, I guess is the word, basically for daring to tell the truth about what's going on in our public schools, yours specifically. Start from the beginning. What did you speak out about and why?
I spoke out against the curriculum, basically our previous curriculum, which had lots of diversity, lots of multicultural materials. I spoke out about this whole other racialized curriculum that has come into our schools. That person who was speaking earlier is 100% correct. We're not teaching critical race theory. It's implicit in the culture. It is implied. It is implicit in all the reading materials. It is implicit in all the projects that the kids are doing. It is causing great harm and racial divide and hostility between children. And it really has to stop. And I wrote about
that. So you're saying that technically there's no, okay, class, time for critical race theory. So they could claim it's not being taught, but it's melded into the curriculum, in your view. So it's being taught just by other things that are being taught. It's in there, correct?
That is correct. It's in the plot narratives. It's in the characterization. It's in the imagery. It's in the art projects, the history class, the English classes. It is in the language that we are told to use in our professional development. It is absolutely everywhere. And also, just to speak to the fact that our libraries are being dismantled and books are being moved into, you know, archaic basement rooms around the school or flat out thrown out. So there's a whole shift taking place, and we really need to pay attention to this.
Okay. Remember the statues. It began with the statue. Well, it didn't begin there, but visibly began with removing the statues. Well, it's just a statue. It's a Confederate War statue. It's just a book. Oh, it's just a concept. Again, folks, and I'll tell you what, because of the time factor and our show schedule is kind of upside down, backwards, and twisted, so I don't want to keep John Moore on the hook any longer, but John dropped? Okay. Oh, here we go again with the wonderful world of internet connections. So, but again, keep in mind the visible takedown of our statues, the erasure of our history, the rewriting of our history. Oh, that's racist to have a statue up. And as recent as New York City taking the statue out of their chambers, right? I believe it was Thomas Jefferson. I could be wrong, and if I'm wrong, please correct me in the comment section on Rumble. But the bottom line here is this is, again, another subset. Okay, this is another subset of this larger satanic agenda. So, you know, again, I'm going to, as I welcome John Moore on here, I'm going to repeat the three quotes that I really pondered on throughout the day today and over the weekend. And the one of the first ones, of course, the cultural Marxists, which again, I believe is a subset of the larger satanic agenda here. They want to destroy the West, yet they still want to enjoy all of the fruits and the blood, sweat, and tears of the founders of this country, the workers, the people who plowed the fields, to moving goods from one side to the other. But they want to do that after they've completely destroyed it. That's number one. And number two, again, this from Voltaire, 1765, a loose translation, but adequate. Those who can make you believe absurdities can make you commit atrocities. And I believe that's what we're seeing today with the dogmatic approach to the clot shots, to the shots, to the dangerous bioweapon known as the jab. And I think that this is happening today because people are so dug in on the left, especially on the left, as this has been politicized, that they want to, hey, it's more than virtue signaling. Although it is all of virtue signaling. It's more than that. It's actually this absurd contamination of the most washed organ of the body in the 21st century, and that's the mind. And the last quote, or the last adage here, is, in the end, we will remember not the words of our enemies, although we will, but the silence of our friends and the silence of our allies. Before we get to John, you know, I got to tell you, a family member, I'm not going to name her because I don't want to embarrass her, but she came up and she said, you know what, holidays, couple weeks away, Thanksgiving or whatever it is, and whatever the time is, and Christmas coming up, you know, I'd love to have extra money. I'd love to be able to save some money. And I said, look, how many times do I have to tell you? Here's what you need to do, because I know you're saddled with credit card debt. Look, folks, I'm telling everyone I know about Lightstream.com/Hagman, because holidays are fast approaching. And let me tell you something, you need to be able to save money. And especially if you've got like a bunch of credit cards, if you haven't seen, for example, your credit card statements, maybe your wife hides them from you or your husband hides them from you or whatever. Okay, look at the interest rates. If you can see them, and you will be astounded. So do me a favor. You can roll your high interest credit card payments into just one payment with a lower fixed rate. This will save you a lot of money. This is what I told a family member. I said, look, first of all, save money on interest. Do this with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. Lightstream's credit card consolidation loans have rates as low as 4.98% APR with auto pay and excellent credit. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000. There are no fees, and you can even get your monies the same day as you apply. Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. Just for my listeners and my viewers right now, John Moore, did you hear that? Right now, you can get a special interest rate discount and save even more. Did you hear me? Just for my listeners and viewers, apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Hagman. That is LightStream.com/Hagman, lightstream.com/Hagman, HAGMANN, two N's on Hagman. Otherwise, I don't get the credit, and no one likes me, and, you know, boo-hoo. No, I'm kidding, of course. But, folks, I'm not kidding about this. Save money with lightstream.com/Hagman. Subject credit approval rates range from 4.98% APR to 19.99% APR and include a 0.50% auto pay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Hagman for more information. You will thank me later. As I always say, you will be glad you did. And I know that family member is experiencing substantial savings with Lightstream. Okay, coming up, John Moore, thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. We're fixing to have him on. John, thank you so much for joining me today. And I apologize for
good beer, Doug. Yeah, good to be here. Thank you.
I apologize for how things are upside down and backwards, but again, I'll make explanations later. So we've got I don't know, 38 minutes left. So John, thanks for being here. What's on your radar, brother?
Well, since you were talking about critical race theory, we can begin with that. It's a shame that And as a I wasn't aware that this began at Harvard Law School, but it doesn't surprise me. Harvard Law School has been ate up with Marxism for decades, so maybe it should come as no surprise. The goal of critical race theory is to divide. They want to divide Americans along racial lines. That's the goal. And if allowed to continue, it will help them achieve that goal. One of the things about being in the U.S. military, at least for myself, was I share living quarters with...
Oh, man, John, you got... you froze up there, my brother. All right, he dropped again. And he was about to make the good point about CRT. And yes, it was a Harvard Law School in syllabus, I suppose, is a word to use. But it was a concept that was refined in Harvard Law School. But it was based on the Marxist doctrine and infused with a Maoist approach to changing the minds of our children. And that's something that, just let me know when he's back. Just punch him in when he's back. But the bottom line here is we are faced with people who believe in things that are incomprehensible, at least to us, at least to the thinking human beings, whether it be CRT, whether it be the efficacy of a MRA type of jab, whatever the concept might be. And again, I like the big picture view. I like the 37,000, 38,000 foot view so I can see exactly what's going on where. But they're forcing people, and people are actually believing in things that are incomprehensible, inconsistent, impossible with what we had known to be true. And therein lies the delusion. John, sorry about that. You dropped again. Sorry.
Well, yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, what I learned sharing living space with black men and Asian men and Native Americans was we were all lonely. We missed our families. We all knew the risks that we were taking in Vietnam. But we did them anyway. And we covered each other's backs. We knew very quickly, especially during the Tet Offensive, that we couldn't count on the U.S. Army to be there for us. All we had was each other, and we counted on each other, and we relied on each other. Most Americans will never have that experience. Thank God they don't. Despite the difference in our races, in our color of our skin, we all shared very common feelings and very common experiences and had very similar ways to resolve those issues that we were dealing with. There was black guys from the south side of Chicago. They grew up in an entirely different environment than I did. White guys from the Appalachian Mountains, Texans. And we had an ethnic Japanese young man from Hawaii, a very great guy, by the way. It was really a mixing bowl of all the races, all the economic groups. We had one guy was from a very wealthy suburb of Detroit, very wealthy, and he grew up in an environment that I wasn't familiar with or part of. But we all got along, and we all worked together to achieve mutual goals of being safe and getting home together. Critical race theory wants to divide Americans along racial lines. That's the goal. And if allowed to continue, they will achieve that goal. It needs to be stopped, and it needs to be stopped immediately. The educators who are speaking up, and thank goodness there are some that are doing so, they know they're putting a career on the line. They know they're probably risking their pension. Teachers are generally not well compensated to begin with. It's almost always a low paid job unless they become an administrator, almost always. And teaching jobs are difficult to come by for many of these people, depending on where they are. And they're taking a great risk to speak out against critical race theory. And I say, God bless them for doing so. And I hope more will do so. That needs to happen, and the parents need to be aware if critical race theory is taking place in their schools so they can go to school board meetings and speak out against it. Do their homework first. They need to understand what's in these textbooks in great detail, learn all the nuances of what's going on in critical race theory. So when they make a presentation before the school board, they sound like they know what they're talking about instead of making a fool of themselves. So I hope people will do that all over the country. We're seeing it, Doug, about the mask and vaccine mask mandates at these schools, the silly social distancing things that's been taking place now for almost 2 years. It's ironic that the FBI is getting involved in local matters. I'm not aware of any federal statutes being violated or state lines being crossed to give the FBI any authority to do anything regarding a school board hearing. None at all. Maybe they're using something in a Patriot Act, which is really not a Patriot Act, but they called it that, to give them some authority that they never had before, Doug. The FBI involved in local school board matters. If anybody at all should be involved, it would be the local sheriff's department or the local police department to maintain order and nothing else, only to maintain order and make sure nobody gets hurt.
I agree with you. And by the way, I can't do math apparently anymore. I'm going to have to go back to school and learn how to do math. We have about 45 minutes together, you and I, John, from now. But you mentioned something here. The memo from Merrick Garland to the field offices of the FBI to meet with the law enforcement oversight. See, that's kind of the out for Merrick Garland, where Merrick Garland says, okay, we're going to have all of our field offices, the special agents in charge of each field office, meet with the, or their designate, meet with the local law enforcement to discuss the threat to the school boards, specifically about CRT and about mask policies and other things, but in a general way. And of course, Merrick Garland being conflicted because, you know, his son-in-law is the purveyor, is the owner of a company that pushes critical race theory in terms of academia, the academic books and what have you. That's a conflict. But the Department of Justice, what you brought up here is the weaponization of the Department of Justice, and we can see this again. This is all interrelated. What the Department of Justice has done to foment this chaotic, if not antagonistic, approach to parents, that shows at one level the Department of Justice also is involved in the prosecution / persecution of people like Steve Bannon, and let's not forget the people in the D.C. jail. The surprise inspection, of course, found horrific conditions. The political prisoners there from January 6th were incredibly gruesome and cruel conditions there. So this is the weaponization of our the federal law enforcement against the American people. And again, whether it's Steve Bannon or the 400-plus political prisoners, or whether it's the parents who speak out, we have to look at this in a larger sense, I think. And, you know, CRT is just one flaming example. It's kind of low-hanging fruit where we can see Whoopi Goldberg says it doesn't exist, so it doesn't exist. Well, you know, The View people say it doesn't exist. It's not being taught. But yet we have people saying it's being taught. And again, you know, those people who make you believe absurdities or lies, it can make you commit atrocities. And I think that's where we're headed here, especially with all of the things going on. And, you know, so that's kind of why I'm glad you brought that up. Go ahead, sir.
Well, let's move on to COVID.
Sure, let's do that.
Doc, I was a football player 2 years, my junior and senior year in high school. I was in tip-top physical condition. My senior year, I was a track man also. I ran the 100-yard dash in 10.0 seconds. We played soccer a couple of times, the football team, just for the hell of it. Doug, as a top-performing athlete, I never had anything wear me out so badly and so much as soccer in my life. Point being, these professional soccer players in Europe that are falling over dead while on the field, these are some of the toughest, most physically fit athletes on the planet, falling over dead while they're playing soccer. I just got another video this morning, a compilation. One of my listeners sent to me dozens of examples of top athletes falling over dead while they're playing their chosen sport.
You know, I've got that video. I know which one of...
There's more than one, actually.
Yeah, I know. I've got one. If I can get it up, have Eric get it up, I will. Go ahead. Continue.
Well, Doug, this should be a huge wake-up call. I hope it's a wake-up call. Different things affect different people differently. I know I've been getting emails and phone calls for basically 20 years. John, how do I wake up my fill-in-the-blank, my wife, my parents, my adult children? Sometimes it's a book. Sometimes it's a video. Sometimes it's a personal conversation. I hope that these videos will wake up people who have not yet got the clot shot that they shouldn't get it. Or if they have got it, at least they won't get the booster. There's strong evidence that only one third of the clot shots actually have the poison in it, and two thirds are a sterile saline solution, which is why not everybody's dropping over dead, in my opinion. It's really scary, Doug, to see these top athletes. Now, there are some autopsies done. The one young athlete, they found his heart was twice as large as it should be as a direct consequence of the clot shot. And this happened over, I believe, was 72 hours. Over a period of 72 hours, this top athlete had his heart enlarged twice its normal size. Doug, these are scary times. They really are. We're literally killing ourselves. We have the holidays coming up. Even within my old family, I'm wondering what Thanksgiving and Christmas get-together are going to be. I'm going to suggest to the people sponsoring and hosting in my family that we allow no discussion of clot shots or the COVID, because it'll just end up a massive disaster. And everybody will get indigestion from the turkey instead of enjoying their meal. But those discussions will be taking place or not taking place all over the country, Doug, because families are split. Many families are split. And in fact, most families I know are split. There's some that aren't, but between the adult children and their parents, between siblings, between parents and the grandparents, they're split on this topic of the clot shots.
But John, let me ask you this question, because I know this is on the hearts and minds of people watching and listening to this show. Are we doing, and maybe the Thanksgiving table is not the place to do this, or maybe it is exactly the place to do this. But my
question, too late, Doug. It's too. I know your question,
Doug. All right, so go ahead.
You can't be unvaccinated. That's the problem.
Well, that's true. Very true.
I mean, if you have a discussion about an election coming up and nobody's voted, you could talk about the candidates and the issues, because there's something yet to be done. But within these families, nationwide, worldwide, as far as that goes, you can't be unvaccinated.
No. By the way, I believe no amount of mud bath or borax soaking or whatever is gonna save your cellular activity from whatever they jabbed you with. That's just my view. But go ahead, sir.
No, I do private consultations, Doug. I'm doing more private consultations now than I ever have, helping people gain the clarity, gain the focus that they need to achieve whatever goal. At my website, you know, you can get there's a link to get details. But I had two doctors over a weekend. It was about a month ago, and they said they had a patient who worked for one of the three pharmaceutical companies manufacturing the clot shots, the COVID vaccines, who admitted in the confidence of their relationship that it took 6 years to develop the COVID vaccine, which is pretty much what a vaccine takes, 6 years, to go through the animal testing, the volunteer human testing, the safety trials, and so forth. I just recently learned that one of the reasons that President Trump did what he did with Warp Speed was to alert the smart people, the people with an IQ smart enough to figure out you can't possibly develop a vaccine in 7 months. It can't be done. To alert them to know that it was a fantasy. And when I read that, it made perfect sense, because I figured it out real quick. In fact, in March of 2020, Doug, which is almost a year and a half, well, more than a year and a half ago, approaching 2 years ago, I was telling people on my radio show that the COVID vaccines were already in refrigerators, which apparently they were, ready to be released. We may never get hard documentation on it, but the confirmation I got privately is enough for me. These conversations at the dinner table, Thanksgiving and Christmas, they're going to take place. And it's going to be hard feelings. There's going to be people who feel hurt emotionally. There's going to be people basically saying goodbye to people that they love because they only get together once a year. Because many American families, mine is a good example. My daughter lives 2,000 miles away. Many families only see each other once a year. And they know, the unvaccinated ones know, that this will be the last time that they ever see their sibling, their parent, their adult children alive, because that person.
And John, we dropped you again, or you dropped again. Oh, hang on a second. We're getting a message. What's this message? I don't know if you saw that on the screen. I'm not sure what that was. Just let me know when he's back and we'll plug him right back in. For the sake of this discussion, you've got this irrational, I believe it's irrational, and certainly not scientifically based push for this jab. And it's interesting, too, because there was just an interview. Let me see if I can. Okay. There was an interview done. There was a study out of Sweden where this bioweapon, known as the SARS-CoV-2 bioweapon, which, just so we're clear on this, the back in 2013, half a dozen miners working in some ungodly cave bat, became ill with the respiratory virus. They brought that back to the Wuhan lab, and the virus was replicated artificially. Okay, and that is what is out in the wild right now. It wouldn't, so, you know, it's able, it was manufactured, so a patent is, you're able to patent it and such, but having, as well as the so-called antidote for that. But the reason I bring this up is because a study out of Sweden just released states that the COVID spike protein, both in the bioweapon itself and the jab, when I say the spike protein, I'm talking about the effect on this, can impair cell DNA damage repair. Okay, so both can impair the ability of cells to repair themselves in DNA. Okay, so at the cellular DNA level. And this was explained in a video between Del Bigtree and Jeffrey Jackson, who discussed the study and the ramifications. And I'll put the link to this video. And again, folks, I know you don't have unlimited number or amount of time to watch videos and stuff and do research, which is why I try to really try to encapsulate things here. But the bottom line here, the severe acute respiratory syndrome, coronavirus 2 or SARS-CoV-2, has led to the coronavirus disease 2019 or COVID-19 pandemic severely affecting public health and the global economy, and so on. Okay, I guess John is back, so you can watch that video. I think it's an extremely important video. So John, we dropped you, or you were dropped again, or somehow we just keep dropping you. Hope you're not hurt from that, but here we go. So continue from where you left off.
Okay, well, Doug, but between the two of us, you and I have investigated a lot of crimes for a lot of years. So I investigated my first murder in 1973.
I wish I could say I was still in diapers, but I wasn't. But yeah, I think between you and I, we've probably, I don't know how many.
Hundreds. I've investigated hundreds and hundreds of crimes.
Yeah.
most of them pretty routine, no big deals, and enough murders to suit me. Point being, this part of our conversation, what we're witnessing in the most of the planet, India has made themselves an exception because of ivermectin and some other exceptions. We're witnessing the largest, most egregious crime in the history, in the recorded history of mankind. That's what's taking place right now, not at some future date, but right now. And, you know, you and I, besides being homicide detectives, Doug, you and I are both broadcast journalists. And as a broadcast journalist, one of my responsibilities is to inform people, educate people, so that they in turn have enough ammunition, enough education, that they might just might be able to inform one person to not get the clot shot. If they can do that, they'll save a life. That's how important this is, and that's how critical it is that people educate themselves. At my website, we've got dozens of articles and videos by world-class scientists and doctors, men and women who, one, for example, won an international award for their work, and others who are world-class scientists and doctors to educate people about what's going on with COVID and the COVID vaccines, what I call the clot shots. Hopefully, we'll wake up a few people, Doug, that they'll take the time to educate themselves, and then in turn take the time to educate somebody they care about to not get the clot shot. The wife of a friend of mine, a very dear friend, his wife wanted to continue her business. And in order to continue her business, she had to get the clot shot against her husband's advice, against my advice. She went ahead and did it. And I was sorry to see that happen, but that was her choice. And we still have a lot of people who haven't taken the clot shot, Doug. The mandates are coming up very, very quickly. The drop-dead dates for men and women in the military, civilian employees in the military, civilian employees, federal employees, contractors that work for the government, many private sector. We have police officers, paramedics, the firemen, the healthcare workers are all meeting deadlines between now and January 1st, and a few into January. The majority of them take place in the next 6 weeks before the end of the year.
What's your take on the Fifth Circuit Court saying no, mandates are not constitutional? Because here's my thought on this as well. Despite whatever any court ruling would make, again, I go back to the statement about absurdities. Okay, I consider the mandated injection of an experimental mRNA type tool. I consider that to be an atrocity, and I think that history will show that to be the case. So, but my question to you is: do you think that the stay, however temporary it might be, may have a salvaging effect on some of the companies, or some of these companies just going to go ahead and plow through this and say, "Well, no, you're going to get jabbed regardless, including the military." But what are your thoughts?
Well, I don't know. Sometimes these was it a judge or a court of appeals?
It was a Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, I believe.
Okay. Well, the next level above that, I believe, would be the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
They'll probably grant some kind of emergency hearing that would speed things up. As you and I know, Doug, and some of our listeners, the U.S. court system moves forward in 30-day blocks of time.
Yep.
That's why everything does it, whether it's a city court or the federal. We don't have 30-day blocks of time. We don't. We've got, we don't have any time at all. This is an emergency. And hopefully the Supreme Court will rule, assuming it's appealed. If it's not appealed, then it stands.
Well, yeah, and let me just verify this here. U.S. Federal Court, Appeals Court affirms hold on Biden's vaccine mandate. In other words, okay, yeah, the U.S. Federal Appeals Court said, no, we're going to, and they called it, and I quote, staggeringly overboard. It raises serious constitutional concerns and likely exceeds the federal government's authority. Again, this is the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. And this was dated last week. How's that? So there it is. So yeah, we don't know. I mean, it's a holding pattern. And, you know, OSHA, they cannot force people to take some experimental injection, but they are. Why? Because people perceive that they've got the authority to do so over their business, which is just absolutely incredible. Go ahead.
I believe the Florida state government is going to deny OSHA that authority in the state of Florida. I've never heard of this being done before. I was getting into the legal system in 1972 when OSHA was brand new. And one of my jobs as a young paralegal was to put all the new mandates in three-ring binders, which we got a nice thick packet every week of new regulations. Regardless, Doug, OSHA has done some good over the decades. They've caused a lot of problems over the decades with their mandates. Some of them make sense and are good. Others are pretty silly. Getting involved in this is something OSHA should not be doing. This is really not part of their mandate at all. OSHA's job is to keep men and women from hurting themselves on the job. And they do a somewhat competent job of that. I want to go a little bit different direction, though, Doug.
Sure, go ahead.
I got a call from a confidential source. He called himself Dr. James from Metro Kansas City. This was, let's see, Friday.
Okay.
I was having lunch with a friend, and I put my friend is a healthcare worker, and I put the phone on speakerphone. Dr. James said the following, that the Children's Hospital in Metro Kansas City, they had just began the clot shots a week before. They began a week ago Friday. He said that the emergency room, the Children's Hospital emergency room in Kansas City had a 200% increase in children being admitted in the emergency room. That's 300%.
Yep.
100% increase is a doubling. A 200% increase is actually a tripling of the number of young people, children being admitted to the emergency room, the Children's Hospital in Metro Kansas City, as a direct consequence of the clot shot. He believes that the majority of them were heart related. We're seeing more that these clot shots have apparently a more dramatic effect on the hearts of young people than they do older people for reasons I don't know or understand. Doing it to the children, you know, if an adult gives consent, even if it's not informed consent, which it can't be because they don't know, at least they gave consent. Children can't give consent because they're children. And so they have their ignorant parents giving consent on their behalf, thinking they're protecting their children from a disease that, even if they got it, has less chance of killing them in a lightning strike. So I blame the parents for not doing their homework, getting their information from the boob tube, from the television.
And we're froze up again, my brother. But to what John was saying and is saying, as soon as he comes back, we'll get him back. You know, Dr. Robert Malone, who is the creator of the mRNA platform, he recently, and he's been very outspoken, he recently came out and said, you know, I knew it was a lie from the first moment. I felt the evil. Now, I'm taking that, that's a quote, and it's not presented to you in context. But the words of medical wisdom from Dr. Malone, the information has been censored and otherwise banned from mainstream media, suppressed by big tech, the big tech oligarchs, but they are extremely important to hear and understand because, once again, as the inventor of the mRNA technology used in Pfizer and Moderna, his insights ought not to be ignored. And he had a thread on a social platform Twitter that helps explain why the pandemic panic theater persists despite mountains of data showing it should not or should have ended a long time ago. And when I went through this thread, it struck me as really interesting, coming from Dr. Robert W. Malone, MD. You know, why do so many still buy into the pandemic narrative? It's interesting that, again, it's how you buy into it as much as what you're buying into. But I go back to Voltaire's statement, those who cause you or make you believe absurdities can make you commit atrocities. To me, the end game is that latter part of that quote and the atrocities. So what are the atrocities? These jabs, these mRNA jabs. And they're this mass delusion that we're seeing rooted in the statement, and especially by not only Voltaire, but Bonhoeffer, who states that emergence of mass stupidity, in some cases it could be argued mass stupidity or this delusion, parallel the societal acceptance of immorality. Well, what's is immorality just immoral for the sake of societal norms? No, it's again, it's steeped in that satanic agenda. So this particular discussion of or this particular thread of Dr. Malone, you can check Dr. Malone's Twitter feed and you can find it. But when you look at all of the factors surrounding this, I believe that we are in the middle of a not just a medical apartheid, not just a government takeover, a tyrannical government takeover, not just a global reset, and I say that understanding how vast that statement is. But I say that as part of the fact that we are living in a time when mass delusion reigns, when these people who believe in these absurdities of the, you know, jabbing 5 to 11-year-olds and even younger pregnant women and others, they're doing it. The monsters are doing it for a specific end, but the people who are embracing it, that's where this absurdity slash or absurdity can, I shouldn't say slash, but absurdity can actually morph into the atrocities. This is where we're at, folks. I truly believe that. Did I talk over, John? Or are we still trying? Was that? Okay. Eric says, no, just keep going. We're trying to get him back. We're not sure what the idea is with respect to the, or what the problem is with respect to the John's connection here. We apologize. So at any rate, and then of course, I just want to touch on this again. You've got the Kyle Rittenhouse end of trial right now. And the folks, if you've been following this, you may say, well, what is this one, you know, why is this captivating the attention of a country? There are so many facets to this trial. It's just amazing. And again, when you look at the difference in headlines, which again should present as an exhibit by itself in a courtroom, where you've got very loaded and very emotionally charged headlines propagated by the mainstream media, by the corporate media, against Kyle Rittenhouse, impacting the society as a whole, for what purpose? To create that situation, in my view anyway, where the chaos that where Rittenhouse was wrapped up in, where that chaos will be repeated, but this time even worse, especially if he is found not guilty of homicide. And I, after watching the trial in my off hours, and I've watched pretty much the entire thing in my off hours, which my wife is saying, you know, what's wrong with you? The prosecution, in my view, either absolutely incompetent, which I'd like to believe they were incompetent, or there's something else going on here. Okay. Yeah, let's do that. John, the last one I sent you? All right, let's do that. John had mentioned something about the young people dying on soccer fields and such. This is a compilation video. And again, I don't know who to attribute this to. I believe it was, well, it'll be in the program description box and you can, it'll be attributed appropriately. But watch this, folks.
Corner says the condition is rare.
And for the listeners, you're seeing flashed across the screen all of the incidents of deaths, of injuries.
It's just one of those tragedies.
Some additional ones. This is not just a one-off. Young people dying. 45-year-old man died. 16.
Did she have any signs before this race?
Absolutely not. She felt like she was in the best shape of her life.
That's incredible.
Marathon runner. Football player. And so on. You can see it if you're watching this on Rumble or Brighteon. Go to HagmanReport.com. But account after account after account. There it is. And from different stations. Now here's a video of an actual event.
USC wants to
watch
attack,
this
but you've got to be careful.
Oops.
He collapsed.
There's another one.
We have a player down.
Again, for those who are
something
listening,
happened to one of the referees.
You do yourself a favor by going to HagmanReport.com and watching this on Rumble. In many cases, these
are
deaths.
A heartbreaking situation here.
Young people, our children. That compilation, I believe, really reflects the. Well, think of it this way. If you were a parent and you saw that, are you willing to take that chance? Even if you thought that we were being absurd, that, oh, this is just so remote of a possibility from these jabs, these untested experimental jabs. Would you feel okay with taking your child? Because after all, you know, taking your child to get a jab, because after all, it'd be much worse to get the coof, right? Look, I'm not trying to downplay the severity of what was unleashed at Wuhan, but the mortality rate, at least the mortality rate, is significantly low. Now, the long-term damage, as discussed recently with respect to the damage that the coronavirus does, that's still up for debate, but why make it worse? Why impair your immune system? But I digress. So, again, you know, I don't know what else more to say except that there is this mass delusion. And I really don't want to sound like a broken record here. And, you know, Jesus, this is all you talk about. No. Again, this is something very evil at its heart, something extremely critical that we have to take a look at. But more importantly, I believe we have to look at the people behind all of this. And if you think about the people behind all of it, because people aren't saying, well, wait a second. Bill Gates talked about depopulation through vaccination. Let's name these people. Let's identify all of these people. Because at the end of the day, I think that the very people who are mandating these injections, the very people who are forcing this lockdown, injector lockdown, or you will not, if you don't get the injection, essentially your life will be a living hell, will lock you down. These are some of the very people who are behind this great reset, who are behind the satanic cabal of globalist leadership, of centralization of power. And I did watch a couple of videos about that, about centralization of power. And that's what this is all about. They, the people behind this, the people such as the Bill Gates of the world, and just look, since this all began, how many new billionaires, 500 new billionaires were made. Now, not all of them were made as a direct result of, you know, all exploited the virus for their own personal gain, or the bioweapon, I should say. But not all of them were behind it. Not all of them were a part of it. Event 201, take a look at Event 201 and note who is there, who participated. Of course, that is part of Bill and Melinda Gates' initiative. So we have to look at this. And I mentioned critical race theory earlier. Who are the biggest proponents of CRT? Who are the biggest proponents of the of everything that we're seeing take place, that has taken place? Oh, and I should add, who are the very people who engaged in meddling in our election back in 2020? The Bill and Melinda, Zuckerberg and Priscilla Chan, through their foundations. And who are some of the biggest mouthpieces for, excuse me, for the 1-6 committee? Do we see any commonalities here among all of these people? I think we do. And of course, there are foot soldiers and mouthpieces, such as Joy Reid and Whoopi Goldberg and the people on The View and pretty much all of the corporate mass media, every one of them. This is all connected. Ushering in the selection of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. You know, I truly believe, as I've really laid out before, that one of the reasons, not the reason, but one of the reasons, or at least one of the benefits to the globalist, to the party of Davos, to the people planning all of this, with respect to the election stuff. I truly believe that this was all unleashed. I mean, Donald Trump was maybe not making as many changes or being successful in the many changes in which he was attempting, but he had to be stopped. Enter Zuckerberg and Priscilla Chan, his wife. Enter Bill Gates with Event 201. Enter Fauci. And Fauci was activated, much like he was activated in the 80s with the AIDS and later with MERS. Enter all of the planners, both previous, you know, prior historic planners as well as current planners. And we can see this criminality, this crime scene taking shape. So, and again, from the release of the bioweapon and in the years leading up to the creation of this bioweapon, the tweaking of the lethality, the pathogenic nature of this, the funneling of money from Fauci, from Collins, and into Wuhan to critical race theory, teachings. Again, this is all the same, different topics, different. If you have a notebook and you've got the notebook is partitioned by subject, yeah, different subjects, but all part of the same notebook, all part of the same playbook. So, excuse me, this is what we're seeing right now. And also, it's interesting to see, and this is part of the mass delusion as well, because this is kind of new in a sense. Over the weekend, if you caught some of the morning shows on Sunday, if you've caught some of the speaking parts by the left, of course, we are faced with this massive inflation, but price increases. My goodness. I have it here. I want to point this out because I think this is so critically important because it is all part of the same. They're all different segments of the same notebook. Let me see here. You've got food prices up exponentially, as well as the I won't give you any. Let's see here. I don't think you really need numbers to really justify what I'm saying here, but you've got gas prices, you've got heating oil prices, you've got all of the throughout the energy sector. Every policy decision by Biden was the complete opposite of President Trump. Yet the mainstream media, these legacy media, excuse the expression, but whores for the party of Davos. Well, it's really COVID that caused all of this. No, it's the policy decisions of the anti-President Trump movement. And is this I'm not deifying President Trump. I'm saying his policies were a lot more sensible than the Biden-Harris policies and those people who are actually making the decisions. But you're going to be paying much more this year and next year for everything. This is all part of the same playbook, just a different chapter. In case you haven't, and this has been breaking throughout the last couple of days, and I want to end with this. Apparently, we're not going to get John on, so John is not with us. He's okay. He's just not with us on the program. But I do want to touch on this because this goes in. John was talking about the crime, the criminality, you know, the fact that we've investigated crimes, right? Many, many crimes. And after a while, you kind of get jaded a little bit, but then you kind of get used to seeing the same MO take place over and over again. The same, you know, criminals aren't that creative. That's what I've found out. Some are smart enough to take what works and run with it, but they're not that creative. But when we look at the intelligence community, their role in all of this, you can see what's taking place right now. You can see the intelligence community, their fingerprints on what was known and what is known as Russiagate. Okay, and if you've been following this, you've been seeing that the Durham investigation, has resulted in the arrest charging and arrest of one Michael Sussman. But you also can see that it's growing, or the target of the investigation is growing to others, and it's getting closer and closer to Hillary Clinton. Now, am I holding my breath on this? Absolutely not. Do I think, for example, and I don't like when people ask themselves questions and then answer, but I don't think, I'll state it differently here. I don't think Hillary Clinton will ever see justice because we don't have a justice system. You can see it with the political prisoners in D.C. But one thing of note, however, is the fact that the Steele dossier, it's been proved to be fabricated. absolutely 100% fabricated. And that was upon which the left and the anti-Trump movement put their, they bet the ranch on that, right? They bet the ranch on that. And some say, well, all roads with these arrests lead to Andrew McCabe. Well, no, Andrew McCabe is a pretty big pillar in the House that houses the movers and shakers. Or you could, maybe he's even the door instead of a pillar. But at the heart of this, you've got the Clintons. You've got the people who are engaged in some of the most heinous violations of law, violations of privacy, some of the most heinous acts of creation of abuse of the Patriot Act, which John had mentioned, the abuse of the FISA court, and the FISA court itself being abusive in the process. But what we're seeing now is that whole narrative falling apart, absolutely falling apart. But there are some people who just refuse to accept that, like Adam Schiff, for example. Schiff was on recently, I think it was this past weekend, saying, look, I don't have any regrets for pushing Steele dossier. Some of it is accurate. Well, that's a hell of a far cry from President Trump was or is a Russian asset. And we see that through people like Rachel Maddow on MSNBC and such. Okay, so again, the reason I bring this up now is because, as I mentioned before, you've got a modus operandi, you've got a method of criminal conduct, a continuing course of criminal conduct by the same people who are pushing the jabs for children, the same people who are pushing the pushing to have everything, this genocidal act. These are their foot soldiers. These are their enforcers. These are the people who will, in fact, follow orders and lock you and I up. I hope that makes a lot of sense. In the end, folks, we will remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends. May God bless you. Good night.